Welcome to Rethink, a podcast focused on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Amy Stulick, senior reporter with Skilled Nursing News. I'm joined for this episode by Todd Mahaffey, chief operating officer for Trilogy Health Services, based in Louisville, Kentucky, and serving 149 properties across five states. Todd and I met up at this year's LTC 100 conference to discuss campus construction across Trilogy's footprint and incorporating existing pharmacy, lab, and rehabilitation ancillary services into new and expanded properties. Pull up a chair as we dig into sector-wide issues too, from ever-present operational challenges tied to Medicare Advantage and AI use on the nursing home floor. Before we get to that conversation, I'd like to highlight our Rethink conference taking place September 28th to the 30th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This annual conference brings together executives to discuss trends, challenges, and future opportunities in the skilled nursing sector. Visit snnrethinkconference.com to learn more. And now, my conversation with Todd Mahaffey. You're just kind of starting very high level, right, with what's happening at Trilogy right now. And, you know, given your position, this could probably be a lot of, like, operational things that are happening. This could be staffing initiatives, you know, whatever you really want to focus on, right?
So, at Trilogy, we've had an exciting several years. Post-pandemic, I would say, it's been exciting. We've had a lot of growth. We've added multiple campuses and locations, expanded to a fifth state in Wisconsin last year, which is pretty interesting. And so that gave us a new footprint. We've completed a pretty large acquisition, a large to us acquisition, in December of 2025, adding on 14 Kingston campuses. That's fit really nicely into our footprint. That was a nice add for us. So a lot of attention has been given to that over the past several months, and the integration of those campuses in our portfolio, and continuing our just overall growth. We have seven campuses that are board approved and are in some various state of construction today that will open in the next 24 months, I would say. And then another nine campuses where we'll do service line expansions. So be it adding patio homes. Patio homes, senior living. So integrated health or integrated living communities really is what we have, right? It's all senior housing. Senior housing and skilled nursing. So we really focus on the whole continuum, right? So at the highest end or most independent side of our campuses, we have patio homes, which are almost like single family homes, two bedroom, two bath, one car garage, patio homes, independent living inside of our campus, like an apartment, assisted living memory care, skilled nursing memory care. And so where we've slowed down new campus construction over the past maybe 3 years, we've added service lines to many campuses, and that's what you're seeing a lot more growth
investing
for us.
Investing more in the brick and mortar that you have.
Yes, ma'am.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And then just to confirm, so the construction you're referring to, that's not skilled nursing. Mm-hmm. That's only like assisted living, seniors housing?
Seniors housing, yes, ma'am. The patio homes are all seniors housing. That's probably the biggest portion of our growth, but we have skilled nursing growing as well. Again, those seven campuses that will be brand new bricks and mortar, ground up construction in multiple states. So we have new ones opening in Wisconsin, new ones open in Michigan, new campuses in Ohio and Kentucky, actually.
Okay.
We already own our own pharmacy, we own our own lab, we own our own rehab company, and we already service all of our campuses with that. So that's just accretive to our overall footprint. Our ancillary services will go into those campuses automatically.
Got it. And then I really wanted to dive into operational challenges for Trilogy. Like, what's really surprising for you? You know, anything that you feel is flying under the radar?
I think it's value-based care. You know, Med Advantage penetration, we've been insulated. We were really low in our Med Advantage penetration up until COVID, and that kind of pierced the veil for us a little bit, where it really catapulted us into a Med Advantage product that we weren't that interested in, quite frankly, pre-pandemic. Post-pandemic, you know, we've gone from, you know, 65-35, 65 Medicare to and 35 Med Advantage to really seeing that grow to about 55-45, 50-50. We're not quite at 50-50 yet in our space. But that has been a pretty big headwind for us, right? So how we manage that and how we manage our contracts with Med Advantage has been something that's a challenge, right? We shy away from level-based contracts and really want percentage of PDPM. That has been a push for us. And we've quite frankly just said no to contracts that did not yield what we needed them to yield. We are not going to give a 35% discount to a Medicare Part A patient for a Med Advantage contract. So we've just completely walked away from those providers. I think the regulatory pieces in the survey components are just going to be continue to manage our incidents and accidents and the management of those risks, right? So we're always going to have incidents and accidents in our campuses and our facilities, right? But how we manage falls, how we manage wound care, how we manage, you know, skin incidents, elopements, inside of the regulatory environment is paramount, right? Understanding self-reporting, QAPI, self-identification, pass on compliance, the pieces that really kind of hurt us, right? I think generally speaking, our industry does a really good job of blocking and tackling and doing the regulatory components that we know are coming at us every single day. It's those unforeseen incidents that really are the ones that hurt campuses the most. I think the more we address those and identify them in advance, the better we'll be. And I think that's what you're going to see over the future with AI and pre-identification of problems before they happen, understanding what an incident looks like 3 days in advance before it actually occurs. I think that's going to be something that's going to be really paramount to our success over the back half of the year.
Anything you're excited about in terms of software, hardware that's out there?
Sure. We've developed some of our own software and for AI, and a lot of it is just predictive, right? Just taking all of our input, we own a lot of data, right? And so rather than giving our data to an outside source, we want to own our own data and utilize it and create our own tools for audits and doing some of our TPE audits. We can find with our own chatbots, our own scrubbers, we can find information much faster than what an individual can find it, right? We can just call through hundreds of pages of documents for an audit and get the right diagnosis and the right documentation to support our diagnosis and our outcomes. And so that's been really exciting to see that develop in-house for us. That technology is going to be paramount for us going forward as well. But for us, it's really about paperwork versus paperwork. If we can get technology to do monitoring and temperatures and wearables and vital signs and not have somebody just manually doing paperwork and menial tasks, then that just gives us more time at the bedside and actual direct patient care.
So let's talk briefly about surveys and audits as well at Trilogy. What has worked for you folks in terms of survey prep and what hasn't?
Sure. I think by and large, the industry, everybody does some type of a mock survey, right? Where you survey your campuses internally, you know, maybe a year out, 6 months out, 9 months out, and then do your own corrective actions before you have an annual survey from CMS. We have a little different process in that we have our own service standards, right? So we have peer-to-peer service standards evaluations every year, and that is something we measure internally. That's not a CMS regulation, but it really is our own service standards, which are much more stringent above and beyond the minimum standards from CMS. So we do our service standards, which is our customer satisfaction, employee satisfaction, everything that fuels our flywheel to success. And then we also do our CMS mock surveys, where it's interdepartmental. Everybody has a piece of that. You know, the clinical team has a piece of it, our life safety and plant operations team, housekeeping, laundry, maintenance, culinary teams have a component to it, social services has components to it. It's just really well balanced. The goal of that is just to reduce the number of deficiencies at the annual surveys. That's where we really feel like we have an opportunity. If we can pick up, you know, go from an average of 6 to 4, then we know we save points on our quality, points, and that's a good outcome for our residents.
and interdisciplinary team. So, you know, you have like an activities coordinator, you have RNs, like all working together. Just thoughts on that and any example that you have on how that has helped outcomes?
Well, I think just in general, the way, you know, the way a high functioning campus runs is the way a region should run, or division should run, or the company should run, right? So when you think about, you know, a department head meeting with life enrichment, culinary, clinical, and you're looking at the patient-centered focus, right? You're looking at all the aspects of it. That's the way our division teams operate. That's the way our home office operates. And it's not really hierarchical. It's, you know, life enrichment might see something different from a resident than what nursing sees from a resident, be it signs of depression, withdrawal, just maybe not as active. And the more we get everybody included in looking at the resident, the better the outcome will be. And I just think that that is something that the best-in-class providers do on a daily basis. And we see that in our outcomes. We see that with, be it length of stay outcomes, we see that with just our quality initiatives, we see that in our quality indicators every single day.
So a couple forward-looking questions to end here. How do you see the skilled nursing sector evolving in the years to come?
I think it's going to get hyper-competitive. I'm not sure if I'd say consolidating, only because there's just not enough beds. The supply and demand is going to continue to fuel the space. But I think you'll see some consolidation, maybe with poor providers or small providers that just can't operationalize. But I don't necessarily feel like we're going to see huge companies either, right? I don't think we're, with the exception, we have a handful of those 300 plus site operators. I don't see us everybody having, you know, 500 campuses. But I do think you'll see some consolidation, or some cleaning of the herd, if you will. But I think that the future looks really bright from a perspective of quality is going to win. And I think overall the industry really understands how to improve quality, and those who have done that have succeeded very well. And so the rising tide will raise all boats, I think, from an industry perspective.
Nice. And then, lastly, what do you think people should rethink about skilled nursing? This could be from a public perspective, any angle you want to take.
I think from a public perspective, we are not the nursing home from 50 years ago at all. We have a lot of life enrichment programs. Our culinary programs are much better than what they've ever been before. You know, at Trilogy, we do a thing called all-day dining. So it's not the same as you have to have breakfast at 7 and you have to have lunch at 11:30 and dinner at 5:30, right? We have all-day dining options where completely autonomous. And our customers are demanding that, right? Our clients and our customers are much more educated, savvy than what they ever have been in the past, and they have choices. And I think the providers that do a good job honoring those choices and catering their services to those choices are going to fare much better than those who are just rote in their practices. So I think that the space is going to be much different going forward than what it ever has been. And it's, you know, for us, because we have integrated campuses with senior housing and skilled nursing, we do a very good job with that hospitality component. But I think just on the skilled nursing side, the hospitality component is going to drive the healthcare decisions a lot more than what it ever has in the past. And that's going to be exciting to see. I think future generations are going to have more options than what they've ever had before.
And then before I let you go, anything
that you want
to mention about the sector that's really top of mind for you right now?
I think MedAdvantage, value-based care is going to continue to be a challenge, right? I think for us, it is going to be not just allowing third parties to dictate care. Right? We've got to do what's right for our residents. We've got to fight and get the most for our residents, right? They deserve it. They've paid into those systems. How we manage that with episodic cost of care, I think is really important. And the outcomes speak for themselves, right? When we know that we're getting good outcomes for our residents, that will always, rule the day. I think that's going to be the biggest headwind for us is the Medicare program, the payer systems going forward, and the influence of that. You know, you look at parts of the country are 90% Med Advantage penetration, other parts are at 40%. And that's going to be something that's going to be top of mind, I think, for most providers as we go through the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Especially with potential legislation, right? Like from ACA and then out of California as well. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting to hear and see. But again, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time.
Thank you, Amy.
I will let you eat now. I promise.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That does it for this episode of Rethink. I'd like to remind listeners about our Rethink conference taking place September 28th to the 30th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Visit snnrethinkconference.com to learn more. Until next time, thanks for listening.